He's no more pain, Lord, but that doesn't neglect the fact that it's hard losing a loved one, Lord. We know that we was, Lord, we know it's hard, Lord. We wrestle with death, and we know that death is not the final say as Christians, but it's hard. Just pray that you just surround her family right now with grace and love, and that you'd use this time, like Dennis said, to bring about the Guybel family and show them that this isn't the final say, Lord. Death isn't the final say, but the final say. And I'm thankful that Pete had a good life, and I'm thankful that he's no more suffering, Lord. But I pray that this week is prepared for the service on Saturday, Lord, that you just be in all of us, God, that you just be, you'd honor Pete, and that you'd be honored as you honor him, Lord. I'm thankful, and I pray that you just be with this service. Amen. It's a new head system we got here with the mic. It's like a Backstreet Boy with the whole microphone. But hey, we'll get through it. But good morning, guys. It's been a while, I guess, since I've been here. I miss you guys and thinking about you and praying for you. And I didn't expect that the army to double or triple dip. I'm away from here, and there's a good annual training that I shared on Memorial Day. And then last week I went up to West Virginia. Bellington, West Virginia, little small town. It's like four or five times smaller than Butler. And I'm like, Lord, why don't you call me to West Virginia this week? And it was a really good time. And I might have shared that we have a soldier who was actively passing away from COVID-related symptoms, but he's since turned it. And he had a heart transplant. He was supposed to have a heart transplant last Thursday. So praise for that, and I thank you for your prayers. I haven't heard from his family, but I trust that no news is good news, and hopefully I'll hear back this weekend. But I thank you and be praying for, we'll call him M, and he's a young man, but I know that his family had been through the fire, and so to speak, but we're there with him, and we're keeping him lifted up. So this morning, I want to talk about something a little difficult for us to, something that's difficult for us to grasp. Not all about tithing, but it's part. Talking about stewardship. And we've been going through, if you can remember, we've been going through the core values of the Alliance. It seemed forever ago, the first two core values. But stewardship is something that should be near and dear to all of our hearts, and it's hard to give of yourself freely. And I struggle with this, and then I'm wearing a t-shirt where stewardship comes in. And yesterday, what's this cutting out? Manop conference yesterday. In Cranberry, and it was cool to see how God uses resources for glory. And they had Cam Hayward there. Many of you know Cam Hayward is a defensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then Coach Tomlin was there. It was just cool hearing how these gentlemen give back to the community, not only financially, but also physically, give their love back to their community. And what these gentlemen do, you know, besides playing and coaching football, they invest in the lives of young children who may be in poverty or may not have a dad. So this whole conference was about kind of taking initiative to be a dad to the fatherless. And so as we enter the Father's Day season next week and celebrate Father's Day, we all can man up and be resourceful and relate to people, but that's just one way you can use your resources God has given you. So into our sermon, knowing the core values of the Alliance gives us a direction, roadmap of how we reach people for Christ. The two core values that I preached on were the lost people matter to God, He wants them found, and prayer is the primary work of God's people. Today, I'm talking about the third core value of the Alliance, which is stewardship. You see on the screen, stewardship is everything we have, which belongs to God. When you think of stewardship, what comes to mind? I know I mentioned money. It's easy to think, oh, I'll just give my money and tithe because that's what's expected of me. Or it's about spending time with your family or utilizing your resources to bless us with. While these are all part of stewardship, stewardship can be defined as, and I quote, utilizing and managing all resources that God provides for the glory of God, the betterment of His creation. One question I honor today is, how can I best utilize which God has given me to bless others, further strengthen the church. This is not easy to preach on, as I I'm going to let you know as your pastor that there's news that I'm on the journey with you guys, and it's interesting being a young man and given being having a full. This is my first full time job. It's been interesting learning how to budget, learn, you know, to tithe, and I tithe as a little kid. But it's interesting, you know, I do have the blessing in my heart to give back to people, and not just because it's expected. But it's something that I've struggled with my whole life. It's like, okay, God, not just in money, but in time management. I'm kind of a spontaneous guy. I like fun things. And it's hard, like, when you have that spirit, you want to do fun things, but you really have, you know, things you got to do or take care of people. But even in my own life, I think about, oh, I could have done, like, I could have reached out to that person, or I could have had a cup of coffee with that person, made a difference. And so I struggle with time management. Not more, but when I was in college, it's so hard because and so from 7 a.m. to about, I would, you know, my whole schedule was set. And so from that 12-hour time, it was eat breakfast, go to class, and then I was in choir, and then I was on football pads. It was kind of obnoxious. I had to. And then so I went to football practice, and then watched film for like 3 hours, and then I ate dinner, and then I went to bed, and then like had barely any time. I realized where it was for God. And stewardship is not just about money, giving back and volunteering, but it's also about time with God. But we can get better at stewarding what God has given us. Today, our primary text will be Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And many of you have heard this passage. Jesus paints the scene. He's in the temple with the disciples, and he views two different types of people. On the one hand, you have the rich, the kind of the Pharisaical, you know, elite of the society. And then Jesus sees this poor woman. And then he says, in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, Jesus looked from the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow, as I just mentioned, dropping two tiny coins. I tell you the truth, this poor widow has been put in more than all the men, for all these people have put in surplus, but out of the poverty and the blessing of her heart is put in all that she had to live on. Verses 1 through 4, Jesus bring two different very people who performed the same exact act, tithing at the treasury. We know that from Scripture, tithing is a regular practice of the Christian faith and was a regular practice of the Old Testament. However, the point that Jesus is making is not to be about the amount of money you're tithing, but rather the heart behind it. The woman gave all that she had and did not have any surplus or funds, no retirement, no Social Security, no 401k, just two small, tiny coins. Whereas the rich had more in abundance. They had more saved up and stored at home. They probably had a 401k. Not really, but they probably had something like that in surplus. And the rich of the day, you know, were the elite of the city. You know, they had, I mean, the homes were mansion, but they had a home. A lot of people didn't have a four-walled house. They might have lived in a little cave dwelling or a mud, you know, kind of mud building. But these people had, you know, homes. They had lavish meals. They, you know, for special occasions, but this lady had just two small coins. And this reminds me of another story in the parable of the rich young ruler, which is in Mark 17 through 27. I'll read that for you guys. So you want to get to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. And we all know this this parable. Most of us do. It's a very quoted, well-known parable. As you're flipping there, I'll summarize it. So basically, Jesus talks to this parable and, you know, says, you know, like, what is the greatest commandment? The rich young ruler quotes all the law, you know, and all of it kind of says all the right things in order to be saved. Thing to follow Jesus, he can do it because his heart wasn't there. And so I'll read it. But that just reminds me of how often we're willing the right thing, be the right thing. And that's not just in stewardship, but in life. Even in my own life, I'm like, Lord, I know I go through the motions, but it comes down to loving you. Do I truly love you? And I do, but deep down sometimes in those moments, it's like, God, help me, because You know, it's easy to follow the world, and in my own walk after college, you know, even in college, I was wondering, God, like, do I really want to be a minister? Do I really want to be a pastor? Because it's hard. Life is hard, but what you called me to is a hard field, and it's not just a job; it's a style, and it's every part of my being. Ministry is not, and people are caught up in that. You know, it's not of a bar. That's for everyone, just pastors, but everyone in ministry. Lost my footing. Sorry about that. Mark 17. As Jesus saw him and fell on his knees before him, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all this I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "But one thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything that you have and give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" I love that question. I love that question. The point here that Jesus is making is that it's hard for the rich to get in the heaven. The point behind that is not just being rich is not the problem, but an instance of both the poor widow in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, and the rich young ruler here is the issue of the heart. Are you willing to give Jesus your all? And for some people, that is giving all their money and possessions to become missionaries. Well, most of us aren't called to give all our possessions to become missionaries. However, when it comes to stewardship and tithing, we have to be willing to give it our all from the fullness of our hearts, from the fullness of God's love for those around us. Rich people are not the issue here. And there are many well-to-do Christians who gave out of their abundance of their hearts to advance God. We've all been affected in someone's giving, whether it be money or time or someone's impact in your life. And there have been many poor people who got tired because they're worried if they give all they have, they won't be able to survive. While I understand this concern, God wants us to be stewards because everything from Scripture belongs to God. This is my main point. Everything belongs to God, so we ought to be good stewards for what He's given us, not just money, but our time and our resources. Maybe wondering, how can I tithe or give my time when I'm overwhelmed with work? I'm worried about making ends meet, or I don't have time scheduled to help serve at church. Or how can I make it to my grandkids' concert or sporting events? My dad, she retired when I was a little kid, but he had a major heart attack when I was 4 years old. But my mom, man, that woman worked. Man, I tell you, my mom was in the hospital from like 7 a.m. in the morning to like almost night, some nights at 10 o'clock. But I'm grateful, and I hopefully your parents were the same way, and I'm sorry if not. But they were in my life. They made time to be in my sporting events. And I see the Boyles at Carter's events. And it's just so cool. You guys are busy with work, but you're there for your son. And it was just so cool to have at least mom or dad be there. And it made so much impact in my life. And to see
that they utilize their time, even the small time they may
have. They could have gone home and relaxed or watched TV, but they willingly,
because their love for me,
to be there. And I have a twin brother. So there were some days where my brother would be at a marching band competition, I'd be at a football game somewhere way down in New York, but they would be there. One of them would be there, and they'd trade off. And
it's funny
when you look back on your life, you don't realize the impact your parents make. But I'm grateful for their time management and being there for me. And I hope that you guys are doing that too. And I encourage you, that if you're not, that you should start, because it matters to your kids and your grandkids. We're at times strapped for money and time, but instead of getting it, let us pray and consider what God wants us to do with it. And this is not only my heart for our church, but also the heart of God in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Our giving makes it possible for international workers to go into closed countries that never heard the gospel. Or by assisting in church, leading a Sunday school or youth ministry, people have a chance to hear and receive the gospel and decided to follow Christ because of your generous impact and commitment to them in their life. I was hearing a story yesterday about Cam Hayward and Coach Tomlin and, you know, this Man Up conference. And there was last year, I don't think last year they didn't have it with COVID, but the year before they had a summer camp, like kids for sports camp. So a lot of the Steelers came out and did a football mini camp for these kids. Well, 1,000 kids came, and out of that 1,000, 500 people to the Lord as their Savior. So praise God. 500, that's half. But that wasn't possible without someone's giving their time and resources. You and I can make a difference for God's kingdom. And it just starts with us considering how God might want to use us. There's an alarming statistic among evangelical churches, not just the Alliance, when it comes to tithing. According to Ligonier Ministries, less than 10% of professing evangelicals tithe regularly. And I unfortunately have been guilty of this as well. That's my we need to give back to God what is due to Him, because it honors Him and allows us for not only us to grow spiritually, but for the church as well. As we go through the summer months, I want to challenge us to consider how we might be more responsible with our time, money, and resources. It's okay to start small, and God will honor that. The point is, we need to honor God and do what we can. I, as your pastor, will never look at your tithing record personally. This should be between you and God. I know a pastor who's a Alliance pastor who actually checks people's tithing. I don't really agree with that. But that's between you and God. It should be between me and you. I won't go on a tangent, but I have a hard time with that because I'm guilty too. I struggle. And I'm no better than you. Just because I have the title pastor doesn't mean I'm better than you guys. And I want you guys to know that up front, that I'm just a regular person. I'm called by God, like you guys are called, but I'm a broken person. I struggle too, but I found it profound. I'm like, who are you to say, you know, like people like to challenge people? You don't know where they're at. So tangent done, but I won't ever check your tithing. But if you need help praying through that, I will pray with you. Anyway, sorry, I got off the tangent. But if you'd like help, like I just said, budgeting, I'll help you. I need help. I'll walk alongside you if you walk alongside me. It's been on my heart to possibly start a small group of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University to help in this area because a lot of us do struggle with finances. It's been interesting planning the wedding and all the financial responsibility that goes into planning a wedding. Like Christopher showed me like just different, you know, options for wedding cakes or decorations or whatever. I'm like, Chris, that's a lot of money. Like, I don't know if I have that much money. It's like, and I'm like, and she's planning. I'm like, well, you know, me and my optimism was like, God will figure it out. You know, people, I'm sure people will bring stuff, whatever. And we don't have to have cake. We don't have a fancy wedding. But I don't want to hurt her dreams, you know, because it's about her. I mean, the wedding's about us, but for about 95% of the wedding, it's about the wife. If Christy, you're listening, I'm probably sure you're shaking your head, but yeah, we're just wrestling through that. It's like, man, I'm blessed by this church. I'm blessed to have a home where I don't have to worry about a house payment. I just worry about my car payment. But I'm like, man, I got student loans to pay. How in the world am I going to afford a wedding and afford to be married? Christy's dad was a blessing to her in her college and graduate school. He paid for her whole ride. So when we get married, Christy takes on my debt. So I guess she'll have to help me. But anyway. Yeah, I was struggling with you. I'm like, God, like, I don't know how we're going to get married, and we don't have money. And I got caught up in that. And then God reminded me, like, Matt, don't worry about it. You're marrying Christy. That's what's more important. You know, it's about her. It's not about the financial situation. And I'll take care of him. I'm like, okay, God, I had to stop. And I was just kind of going in a brain tangent, I guess they call it. But my mind sometimes, if I get on something, my brain will stay there. Not just for hours, but sometimes days. And I just paused and said, God, just take a time and say, God, help me, because I don't know how this is going to happen. But God assured me, he's like, I got this. Okay, God. we'll see in October. But as I mentioned earlier, Rick and I had the impact of seeing the real impact, or sorry, I'm going to back up. We're going to have the privilege of seeing the real impact of giving yesterday, of what giving can look like in the area of Pittsburgh. This came through the ministry of Man Up. And so I was just so blown away, just seeing, right, you think there's maybe like 500 men there, or 600 men, or more, yeah. And different churches, and actually Pastor Andy was there. So that was cool seeing Andy being there. But it was just cool seeing these group of believers giving out of their time to learn how to be better dads and using their Saturday. I mean, I know Coach Tomlin and the rest of the Steelers have minicamp coming up, and so they're stressed for time because, you know, preseason starts in 4 weeks, and I know they're getting real anxious for the season. And I know last year the Steelers had a good season, and unfortunately the Browns beat them in the playoffs. But anyway, they're getting ready, you know, and getting ready to rock and roll for the season. But they could be out there, you know, doing minicamp. Yesterday they chose selflessly because of their love for the Lord, and out of that compassion the Lord gave them for people, they were there. And I was just blown away by Mike Tomlin's testimony. He said, you know, people try to follow me around because I have money. And Coach Tomlin makes about $13 million or more a year. And it was just blown away to see how humble God has made him. And not just giving him his money, but his time to impact kids and men, because that's his heart. And so while we can tangibly see the fruit of God's giving and how God has earned our time, let us selflessly consider how God might give of our resources. So in the Alliance, there's many options to give, not just financially, but maybe God's calling you to pray, to use your time to pray for missionaries, to pray for pastors. In order to give financially, we have the Great Commission Fund, which blesses our missionaries. And Jeannie was a recipient, or family was a recipient of that, I'm sure, when her family was in the missions field. And many of you have given to that. And it's just so cool to see. I love the Alliance because they give different, the Great Commission Fund, they give different like areas of where your money goes. And usually it says like, well, this amount gives like to like 30 Bibles or something. And then this gives like for 3 months of like summer camp. So it's cool. You're actually seeing God is blessing people with your impact. And so I love our denomination. I love that we're a true evangelical church, that we're not prosperity. In the sense of, you know, that everything will be okay if you have money. Well, we know that's not true, because you can have a lot of money but be the poorest person in the world because you have no joy. I'm just grateful that God has given the heart of our denomination to give back to those that so desperately need help. And the Great Commission Fund is one way. You can give to the half a camp. There's many I could help you with that, but the denomination would not thrive without your prayer and giving selflessly. And so I'm just grateful for all of you guys. I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but I was told when I was hired that our church is the number one giving church, like one of the number one churches in our district. From the size of our church, our heart is that. And I was just, wow, like our church, our little small church, I love you guys. Really. And he's like, yeah, we're like one of the top 10 in the district of giving. And I just want to commend you guys and in your heart. Everything we've been through with COVID, the church is growing because of your financial and giving, and your time and your resources. You know, there's a statistic from the Barna Research Group that says that churches or church ministry is done by 80% of people, or 20% of people, or let me back up, 80% of ministry is done by 20% of people. But really, our church is all, we're all in because we're so small. I'm grateful that even though we're small, we're mighty and we have a big impact. And we've already shown that through missionary giving. And I've been getting letters from the Crows and Mrs. Bartmus just about our love for them. And it was just really cool to see that we still bless them even though they're retired, and we thank them for their ministry. And I don't know any other Alliance church that does that. And so it's kind of cool that we give back to them because they gave so much to us, and not just us, but for the Lord. And so it's just cool hearing these testimonies about how God has used them. And missionary work is all volunteer. It's not paid. And Jeannie can attest to that. And a lot of you guys have friends in the missions field, but it's not paid. And so they're giving their time and their energy and their whole life to basically say, Lord, you know, they answer the call in their life, say, God, I'm willing. Here I am, Lord. I'm going. And I can imagine what it's like to give up, you know, if you have a $100,000 home or whatever you got, you know, a really nice property, got nice cars or whatever God's given you, but they receive the call just to go and give everything up. I can't fathom that. It's hard to give my stuff up. I like my stuff. And I think part of that tendency is the rich young ruler. It's like, Lord, like, I like my stuff, but God just so graciously uses people and all of us, and just gives help with themselves. And I need to learn from those missionaries. Like, it's okay to live, well, but if you use your resources to bless people, that's what God looks for. But I'm just amazed at how they can give up all they have and just trust the Lord and say, "Hey, Lord, I'm going." I'm like, wow, it takes a very godly person, and I don't know if I'm quite there yet. So I'm growing, and I don't know if I'll ever will be willing to give up stuff to that nature. But God, I pray that you use me and to help me be a generous person. As I mentioned earlier, in the CMA, we are a mission-centered denomination that is focused on reaching every man, woman, and child in all the nations with the gospel. This is only made possible by faithfully praying and your generous and selfless giving. The Great Commission Fund, as I mentioned, is one way to give back. And let us consider how we might be used this summer to use all of our resources should we see God do amazing things here in Butler. I challenge you all, myself included, to pray this summer to think about how I could civically impact my community with what God has given me so others have a chance of hearing the gospel. As we close, I'd like to read a few lyrics from a song written by Ray Bolts. I know Ray Bolts has since kind of recanted his faith, but it's not about him, it's about the lyrics that he wrote. And the song is called "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." This song is a beautiful picture of how God blesses those received from our stewardship and the love, and how we are blessed as a result. Listen as I read them to you. So the song goes, I dreamed a dream and went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. We turned and saw a young man running. He was smiling when he came. He said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. I'm so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today." Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. I'm so glad that you gave. One by one they came, far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost always sure there were tears in our eyes. And Jesus took your hand and stood before you. He stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you. Great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad that you gave. I just love that song. It's really sad about Ray Bolts, and he's now struggling with homosexuality and all that, but he wrote so many beautiful songs in the 80s. But this one song in particular, like, we may not know the impact of our giving, you know, financially or of our time, but in heaven we will. And I just love that song. You know, like, we never know. You teach Sunday school, and you know, you might feel like it's kind of a drudge because no one listens to you, and little kids are yelling and screaming. And I remember being a youth pastor, I'm like, "Lord, these kids are obnoxious." Like, was I like that at 18 years old and 17 years old, and not too far removed from them? But sometimes I wonder, Lord, what's the impact I'm making here when there seems like there's no clear impact? But one day in heaven, we'll know. We'll know that people might walk up to us. We don't, I don't know what that looks like. I love that song because it paints a picture that people will, they recognize our love for them and our generosity. And I just encourage you, whatever God lays on your heart, just to bless people, because we've been blessed. We're blessed to be here. We're blessed to be in this country. We're blessed to be in a church building. Many people around the world don't even have a building. And we know church is not about a four-walled building. It's not to meet here. But I've learned to just be more thankful in my 26 years of life. And it's easy to get kind of caught up in your way or whatever, but to be more thankful what God has given me, because there are people in this world that don't have much. And so I'm just encouraged to give back what God has given me to bless you all. And so as we close, let us pray and ask God and consider how He might want to use us,
not just
financially, but how we can use our time to maybe coach football or soccer, or maybe teach music lessons. But God can use that. Let's just begin to think creatively as a church. How can we reach people what God has given us with? I love football. You can tell us about the Steelers. I was telling Dennis earlier and telling Dave that yesterday's testimony from Cam Hayward and Mike Tomlin almost has me. I'm 90% almost a Steelers fan. So keep working on me. It might come around. But it was just so cool to see that, and I was just blown away. You know, they don't have to give. You know, like, they can flaunt their money, whatever, but they don't. And they don't have to give their time, but they do. And they were saying that they bring these youth to practice. And it was just really cool. Like, they don't have to do that. Like, there's rules, you know, people can't really attend practice. But Mike Tomlin was saying, whatever, the security, like, they're here on our behalf. And then back to the football thing, like, how are some ways you know, you can use the community? And I used to coach football when I was a coach, referee, sorry, little kids. And an elder of mine who actually got me into football, you know, like, huge impact in my life, not only spiritually, but just as a young man growing up, passed away a few years ago. His name's Tom Wolf. And Tom got me into football with my dad. And when I was a freshman in high school playing on the junior varsity and then in the varsity football team, I want to give back because of the love he put in my life. And it was really cool to see a different side of the game, to be a referee. And so that was cool how I used my time.
I don't know
if Butler or Saxburg has anything like that, but I love to get involved in some way to give back. Because I love all the sport of football. I played it for 19 years. It was hard to let it go my senior year of college. But I'd love to give back because God can use sports. He can use music. He can use your talents to bring them to Christ. And so that's just one of many ways we can give. But let us pray. And this time I'll actually pray. Sorry for interrupting my prayer. And we'll close it out. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for their compassionate love, not only as a pastor, but for you. Lord, I'm grateful that they have a generous heart, Lord, not just financially, but that they're so willing to be there at a moment's notice, Lord. I'm thankful that I'm just blown away, God. I'm just blown away that that they're always there. They're always there to cut the grass without being asked. And they're just generous, Lord. And they're generous in loving me and accept me as their young pastor. And I'm just grateful for that, Lord. I'm grateful for them, Lord. And I want to know them. Want them to know that they're thanked and loved by me. And I appreciate every single one of them, Lord. And it wouldn't be possible. Wouldn't be possible their past without their love for you and love for me. And I'm humbled and honored to be their pastor. And God, I pray as we go through the summer season that things, you know, things look like they're on the up and up from COVID and we can do more as a church. I pray that you just begin to give us visions of what you want your church to look like or how we can involve the community. And thankfully, COVID is on the down and so that we can do more things with what you've given us. And God, if there's anything creative we can do as a church, I pray that you just help people come up with vision and ideas, Lord. I pray that you'd help us spend time with homeless or partner with Fishbone or whatever ministries you want us to partner with, Lord. Because that's on my heart. I know it's on the heart of many of you. I pray, Lord, as we go from this place today that that we just leave here blessed and encouraged, Lord. It's okay to wrestle with how to give. It's not an easy topic, Lord. It's not easy. But I want them to know that it's not about just giving money. It's about giving selflessly from your heart, not just money, not just your time, but maybe the impact you can have in someone's life. Because we've all benefited from someone's influence, Lord, and myself included, from mentors. But I just pray as we do, Lord, that we begin to think through how you might use us, Lord. It's in your holy name I pray, God. Amen.